So the next question was, may I watch Hollywood movies? What are Hollywoods?
It's not Bollywood, and it's not the...
Okay, Rabbi.
Okay, so there's a whole slew of questions here that start with the word may I. May I?
Maybe we'll group them?
May I group them? So I think a lot of them are great questions, and they bring up very interesting points and halachas and approaches, but I can't approach it without first saying that I don't like the word may I. and in general, I had a rabbi once that said, you know, some people wake up in the morning and they have 613 problems. there's different ways of approaching. My approach, which I would say I personally have taken very much from Chassidut, is that the view of the general view of halacha, of mitzvot, of everything that we're doing in the Torah is a relationship between us and Hashem. And in a relationship, if your wife has a million different little things that she wants you to do, that she likes it when you do it like this, she likes it when you buy it from this store or this thing, so you're not living, so to speak, in a prison system. You're not being policed by your wife. You have to do it like this. You don't have to do it like that. You want to give joy to your wife. You want to have a relationship with your wife. So you don't have all the things, in other words, that you have to change, that you have to do in order to keep the relationship good, to keep your wife happy, so to speak, and to enhance, to show that you want to be in this relationship, that you care, that even the little things matter to you, right? So it's a different approach. So you wouldn't ask your wife, may I? I mean, you should, many times. You should ask your wife, may I? But you understand, figuratively speaking, right? It's so may I watch Hollywood movies? So my first answer would be, it's not kedai. Don't think about it. If you can't, if it's mutar, if it's asur, first of all, it's not good for you. It's not good for your health necessarily to watch Hollywood movies. Now, that's in general. There is certain content in some movies which is prohibited for a Jew to look at and to see. But besides that, even if you took a movie that would call even today what's called rated, what's the lowest one? PG?
X?
No. Even if you take rated PG or the, you know, children's, so the power of film and music and everything that it involves goes very, very deep into a person, much deeper than they think, and values and influences from places that we don't necessarily want to receive from go into a person very deeply, even on a subconscious level, to a point where that even I can say for myself, I grew up watching plenty of TV and watching plenty of movies, and now I haven't seen a movie in well over a decade, and I still remember scenes. I can still quote to you entire scenes from several movies. I still see the images clear as day in my mind from things that I saw almost 25 years ago.
You ever seen The Frisco Kid?
I've been trying to forget it for 25 years. So it goes in very deep. So not from a halakhic aspect, from a spiritual aspect, from a growth aspect, I would say it's one of the worst things that a person can do for spiritual growth. Even though I understand that comment has strong weight. Now, that being said, Baalei Tshuva have to know where they're holding. And for people that are coming from Western culture where movies are so built into what we do, I have a friend who their family pastime is they tape now, I don't know how they do it now, but that, 10 years ago, the last time he told me about this, they get together, the family's favorite shows, they tape it, and the whole family gets together, mom makes chips and dips and everything else, and they just sit and watch TV for like 3 hours together. And that's considered like the greatest quality family time that they have. Now, a lot can be said about it. I'm not knocking it, right? But what I'm saying from the aspect of a person has to know himself, if for him to cut himself off cold turkey from movies and from TV is going to be extremely overwhelming, and it's an outlet that he has right now that it's very very difficult for him to let go. So he has to be real with that, and he has to contend with that, and he has to find a way to only watch the PG movies, to the least amount of harm that he could possibly bring. You guys know that I usually don't speak very strongly about these things for Bali Tshuva. You know, we have to be very, very careful how we take things on. It has to be very natural and organic and slowly but surely. But movies are very, very powerful. And today, the content of movies, even of the lower rating movies, is really so different from our Torah values. Yaakov,
you mentioned just towards Nei, and you talked about from your aspect that it's a relationship. And Nei almost sounds like, do I have God's permission? And some of it can be, does it matter? And you're talking about a relationship. And so my question would be, when we're asking permission, can we, shouldn't we? It's almost like, are we looking to, like you said, looking to please the other partner, so to speak, in this relationship? Now, there are two very different thoughts in Judaism, that the relationship comes down to, it's a very personal thing, it comes down to the level of stubbing your toe, getting a parking spot, and there are many other different things that say we work within a system, and there really isn't that personal connection, so to speak. I'd say it's somewhere in the middle. How does this relationship function? Is it personal down to the smallest minutia, or is it more distant? Because you talk about the relationship being like one with your wife. It's a very intense, personal, down to the smallest minutia. And there are many other, the Judaism say that's not how it works. That in fact we're within a system, and the relationship is not like that. That we can't give pleasure or joy to that which is complete and doesn't need us.
So I don't know of any approaches that totally take out the element of relationship. Maybe they express the relationship in other terms, but the concept of providing, so to speak, nachat ruach to Hashem, of giving pleasure to Hashem, which is a concept that is a humanized term of forging a connection, of showing that you care. So does Hashem need your sacrifice in order for, right? It's more for you, right? So I think that lekol adot, I think maybe the rabbi has some other approaches, but I think the kol adot, there's a connection, there's a bond, a very personal bond with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. What aspects of your life that includes, that is a subject of discussion. We have teachings that say how, you know, that the relationships that you have in your life are really just a window or a mashal into your relationship with Hashem. So I remember when I was first married, so it's a little bit funny, but since I've got about 20 of my best friends here, I guess I could tell something. But when I noticed after about a week or two of being married, so when there would come time to put a new roll of toilet paper in the restroom, I noticed that my wife would put it on to where the toilet paper was coming from underneath. So my gift of the Yankasa, my house, you put it that it's coming from up front, right? So I said, I'm going to test to see, maybe this is just chance. So I switched it, right? She didn't switch it back, but the next time she put it from down below. It's been on for about 6 months. I didn't say anything. My mother-in-law came to town. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, when you guys put toilet paper on, which way do you put it? This way or this way? She almost fell out of a chair laughing. She said, this is an argument your father-in-law and I have had for 35 years. And he said, I didn't know this was an argument. They had never spoken about my before. My wife said, I also didn't know. So down to the finest details of right. Let's say my wife really did want it that way. So is it such a big deal for me to pull it this way? Well, maybe it is. Maybe it's something I have to get over. But even the finest details of our life, the tiniest minutia, and sometimes minutia can, right? That's what my father says, don't major in minutia. So it sometimes can become a mountain, but that minutia is a way to relate to each other and to express that relationship. I don't know if I really answered your question, but...
I want to ask, because the Rav understands the danger of that. I always tell the story. I was walking with one of the guys home, and he, as he rounded the corner, his sleeve got caught on a fence thing that was sticking out, and he tore his jacket or whatever, his shirt. And he goes, "Why'd you do that to me?" He wags a finger. I think you even know who it was.
I remember that finger. Yeah.
So that's right. The danger.
Right. No, so yeah, there's a danger. I didn't address that point. I guess what I would say is, on the level of the absolute minutia, my approach, and there could be other approaches, but on the level of absolute minutia, the expression of love and the expression of desire to relate and to connect and to, for instance, perfect myself, to work on myself, to refine myself, even on the tiniest minutia, on the aspect of making that connection, but on the aspect of understanding the tiniest, that why did the leaf just fall on my knee, right? So what we have passed down is the person could go crazy to do that, and that we're not necessarily, we have from Chaim Volozhiner and other sources, we have that we're not necessarily supposed to look into every tiny detail in that sense, but on the aspect of relating to Hashem and wanting to grow in my responsibility, so to speak, in the relationship, we do want that. And it's similar in a relationship with a wife, again, right? I'm not supposed to be thinking how is she putting the toilet paper on, how is she speaking, how is she doing. I'm supposed to be thinking about how am I doing it.
Okay, right? And then say that it's not necessarily a two-way street. From our standpoint, we have to be involved with the minutia, the mitzvot, how they're applied, what we do. But it's not necessarily a two-way street that he then interacts in our lives on that same level.
Right. It's not necessarily a two-way street on the level of being able to understand.
So wait, I don't think that was understood.
Yeah.
I think what the Rav is saying is so important, and I don't think...
Right. What, that last comment?
Yes.
Oh, right. In other words, I can't... Just like we said, right? the sleeve tears, the leaf falls. So our ability to understand how Hashem is relating to us, we have certain klalim passed down in many different svarim, right? But to understand down to the finest detail, we don't have. It's not in hands. And there's also many big things that we don't have, right? Like it says in the Mishnah, why did the righteous suffer and what, right? So this is things that are not in your hands. It says. But on the level of my behavior and my fulfillment of what I am trying to do and what I think that Hashem wants from me, I can try to go down to the deepest details.
Are you saying we don't understand that He is relating to us on that level?
Right.
Are you saying that He is, we just don't understand how?
Oh, is He relating to us on the level of...
But we just don't know how to understand it? Or are you saying He doesn't relate?
So on that, there's definitely different opinions, but it's a big question. But either way, let's say both approaches. So we don't necessarily know. We have certain, like I said, we have certain klalim. We have certain fundamental principles of understanding how Hashem relates to us. For instance, we understand that the essence of how Hashem relates to us, the deepest expression that Hashem ever expressed to us of His essence, so to speak, which, like we said before, we know a lot more about what Hashem isn't than what Hashem is, but what we do know about Hashem is the way that Hashem relates to us and the different expressions that He's expressed through history. And what we have passed down is the deepest way, the most intimate expression that Hashem ever showed us was when He expressed the 13 midot harach, 13 attributes of Hashem's loving kindness. And what we have passed down is that's the ultimate way that Hashem is really relating to us, even when He's relating to us through other ways. That's really behind it. That's underneath it. So should I open up a huge can of worms over here?
No, I have nothing.
I get 2 points then.
Just to summarize, is it fair to say that the shirt tear is from Hashem, but we don't understand what the reason for it was?
I think the Rav said we don't necessarily understand. We don't know if we understand, right? It's not that we don't understand. It's that we're not sure if we understand, right?
Yeah.
Could be we do. And it pays to stop a minute to think. Because maybe you do understand.
But for sure it's from Hashem.
I want to add something. I'm sorry I can't grow my forelocks for a minute. I would like to. I want to tell you, I learned a lot from what Rav Micha just said. One of the things I learned, and I never knew, was that every time Hashem corresponds to us, it's through the 13 attributes. I did not know that. I knew those were midot of Hashem. I did not know that everything can be attributed to that. That was a big chidush to me. I still have to digest that. He'll be walking with me for a few days now, at least, maybe a lifetime. It's one of the challenges here. I don't know if you guys appreciate it. When the Rav speaks, sometimes he says in one sentence a philosophy for a lifetime. I still have to digest what was just said. But I learned another interesting thing, which an educational tool. Whenever we discuss this question, and we've been discussing it a lot, I always get philosophical with you guys. And I talked to you about the different approaches. And what the Rav just did was tell you the way he approaches life. And I feel like it's important to do that. And so I want to tell you this yucky, this cold-hearted, logical...
We're going to have to cut this off right now.
Forelock-trimmed Jew that's sitting next to Rav Micha, known as Nathanael Frankenthal, happens to view the world the same way he just described. Meaning, if you'll ask me on a personal level, and I just realized, listening to the Rav speak, that I never told you guys that. That whenever we speak, I'm always talking about Rambam's approach, Ran's approach, Ramban's approach. I always go to the philosophical. I run away from being personal. So I'm going to tell you something from a personal perspective, as logical as I try to be. The truth is that the approach that I take to life is very, I think, synonymous with what the Rav just said. Meaning I definitely do approach life with the approach Hashem is talking to us through what's going on. We cannot be so audacious to assume we know what's being said, and we have ample examples in Tanakh, where the Tanakh even reaches a point that seems cynical. It tells us about the one who had the idol, Micha, who had an idol, is confident that God is on his side because he sends him this Levite to be the priest in his temple of paganism. And it seems like the Navi is quoting us that to tell us something, you know, that don't assume you really know what God's doing. And if you're looking for signs, you'll find signs for everything. And nonetheless, all that being said, if you ask me, step back, when things happen in my life, what do? I'll give you a small example. I was leaving Beis Medrash tonight, 2.5 hours ago. And as I left Beis Medrash, my bag got caught on the bench I was sitting on. So what would you say, what's the logical thing to do? Release your bag and walk out. I don't. I stopped, and I looked back at the place I sat. I said, who knows, maybe I forgot something. If I wanted the Ribbono Shel Olam to give me a sign, what would I expect them to do? That a UFO would come landing and say, go look, you forgot something, honey. That's not going to happen. And I looked back, and I forgot 2 tissues on my seat. I looked back, I went, oh, so it's a sign from heaven, there is a God, right? Okay, come on, let's be realistic. I'm not saying that proves anything. But what I learned, and I think it's very important, what the Rav said, if you ask me, after all the philosophical conversations we've had, How do I run my life? When my bag gets caught, I'm telling you something that happened 3 hours ago. I look back at the seat and I say, wait a second, did I forget something? I don't decide based on signs, but I do say, wait, maybe their bone shalom's reminding me something. So I look back and I say, yeah, I forgot a tissue on my seat. Okay, two tissues. Take them and throw them out, and then I leave the base medrash. I'm just saying that sometimes I just realized that in all our discussions, I've never revealed to you where is Netano Frankenthal on all this. Not that I think it matters much, but say that. That's okay, we're on to the next one.
I just want
to
add
one
more thing. I'm sorry. This is a really important point that I don't want to pass up. That from what we just said, that when we're living a life of trying to see Hashgachat Hashem, how Hashem is relating to us, so there's things that Hashem does that feel good, that naturally give us pleasure and simcha, and then there's things that Hashem does that hurt, sometimes cause bleeding, sometimes all kinds of suffering, right? And like we said, that we don't necessarily know, and we're not going to say definitely this is why it happened and this is what I have to do, because we don't know until we have a prophet that can tell us that. So, but there is just the continuum. We said that underneath everything, that we understand that Hashem loves us, and that's even when difficult things are happening. And I think that an issue that a lot of people have when they are trying to live a life where they are sensing Hashgachat Hashem in their life is that they feel like they're being punished. They feel that, and they don't understand why should there be such suffering. If you want to teach me a lesson, you could send me Rav Frankenthal and he'll tell it to me straight, right? I don't have to be taught with a clop over the head, right? The example I always give is, when you open up the refrigerator, I don't know if this ever happened, right? And then sometimes you open up the freezer and then you realize, no, you're looking in the refrigerator, and then you come up and you hit your head on that freezer door and it feels like your brain just came loose a little bit inside you, right? So at that moment, the rabbi shared personal also. So which happens to me at least several times a year. Unfortunately, I think I learned my lesson at this point, but that hurts so bad. Ribbono Shel Olam, I love you. Thank you so much. I don't get it. I don't know why. All right. I'm trying to work on myself, but I understand that I need this for some reason, right? I'm not going to try to begin to understand what the reason is, but if a person takes it and says, "Wow, Hashem, oh really, right?" Like the rabbi was saying before, waving the finger at Hashem, right? So the deep understanding is that this is a love relationship. This is a love relationship, and I would like to. I don't want to take any more time on this because we have another 30 questions here. But I would like to just say that I believe that that's one of the deepest secrets of why Shema, when we say Shema Yisrael, that is the statement, the ultimate statement of a Jew and what we believe. We close our eyes. We close our eyes because this world is a very confusing place. And if we look at this world, we don't really understand exactly why things are happening, whatever. So we close our eyes to say there's a deeper reality that we believe is happening here. And Shema Yisrael, without being mefarish the whole sentence, when we come to Echad, so we have teachers that have pointed out that Echad is the gematria of Ahava, of love, that Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem the aspect of Hashem's compassion and love, Elokeinu the aspect of Hashem dealing with us sometimes a knock on the head, right? Shino Echad, that it's really all a place of Ahava. It's all coming from love. And we have to close our eyes to see that because we don't always see that. Right? And that moment is... Right, okay, I'm going to cut myself off, but I am going to ask if I can have just a volunteer to maybe fill up two cups of water for me. The rabbi underestimated my...
It wasn't me. It's the nice guys here.